Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My strength has always been my shadows. Come now, OSHA. Where else would an Aconite kneel to worship but at the altar of his god?
Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
And I'm Cass.
And today we have Anthony Palmini here with us. He is back. And Brimstone is out. Yay! Welcome. Thank you again for hanging out with us and coming on to our show. We are so forever grateful.
Thank you.
So we are going to jump right into it. I know that a lot of our listeners have been looking forward to this interview. So question number one, do you feel more or less pressure now that Brimstone is out into the world?
No pressure, I don't think. I don't think that there's pressure. I think I put the pressure on myself to get it done on time and hope that the audio gets to them on time. And for me, it's more of like, just do the best performance that I can. I think if I think too much about what happens when it goes out into the world, I might put too much pressure on myself, which like, I have no control over that. So just have fun recording and hopefully someone will like what I record. So no pressure.
I really think that's got to be the key to it because you absolutely crushed it.
Oh, thanks.
As usual. I cannot decide on which I liked better, whether or not I liked Brimstone or Quicksilver better audiobook version wise.
Oh, nice.
I thought that there would be like one I liked more than the other, but they're both just so incredible. Cass, I don't know if you have a favorite, like on which one you prefer, but
I couldn't choose. I feel like Brimstone made it feel like more alive. I don't know. I don't know what you or Stella did different, but I was like, I feel like I'm actually living this book. Maybe there's just like a little bit more to it, and or maybe it's because I know the characters already. And in Quicksilver, you're still learning them. So I don't know. I like Brimstone a little better.
Nice.
That's fair. So after the release of Brimstone, you went to your first big event for it with Podium, right? Over in California. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, that was my first time in LA. That was my first live event for any of the work that I've done for narration. And it was short, but it was so cool. Because it felt like I flew out there. I was there for like a couple of hours of sleep. Then I went into the actual event and then went right back to New York City the next day. So, but the event itself was so epic. What they put into it, you know, you felt like it was like almost like a movie premiere and everybody seemed to have a good time. And it was great to see people in person and hearing their questions and meeting Stella for the first time face to face, Callie first time, like so many people first time face to face. So it was a really, really good event.
That's incredible. I can't imagine how much fun it must have been when you met both of the girls, like in real life, on stage, and how cool it would have been for the fans too, and the fans of the book and the fans of your voice and Stella's voice and Callie's writing to see you guys like IRL together. And that's such a dream. I don't know, obviously, if Podium has a plan to do one for book three. I feel like this one was such a success from what I heard. So I fingers crossed.
Let's hope. I told them let's do New York, but I don't know.
Oh, maybe that would be nice. Yes. It's less of a flight for us as well. So hello, Podium. I know you're listening. We want to go to your release party.
So I have a question because I didn't talk to you last time. And I know before you had said you just read the lines. But now that you're in book two, right? You may be in book three, hopefully. I'm hoping you're continuing with book three. Do you feel any kind of connection at all to Kingfisher or any of the other characters since you do all of the male characters?
I think there definitely has to be a part of me that connects with the characters. I think that I try to bring a little bit of myself to the character to just kind of get into that groove, that rhythm for the character. So yeah, I think like there's some you know, Carrion, it's so funny because even when I was at the live Q&A, they were like, Carrion sounds like you, like your normal voice. And I was
like,
yeah, Carrion, Yeah, Carrion, I can relate because he's just like, he's so funny. And I before the narration, I was doing stand up, I was doing a comedy show. So there's that kind of, oh yeah, I know what that should sound like, hopefully. So yeah, every character, there's like a little piece, something to connect.
Was there anything in this book that actually like was a challenge for you, right? Like battle scenes, traumatic moments, things like that. Was there anything where you were reading it and you were like, whew, this one's kind of tough?
That's a good question. I think, and it's so funny because before I recorded Brimstone, I was doing a lot of recording and my voice ended up getting like really weak. Like I couldn't record for that long.
And so I started to see a vocal coach and we did some exercises and luckily enough, I got my voice stronger. But there was that scene with, I think it was Carrion Kingfisher and Joshin.
Yes, the scorpion Joshin. Demon, yeah. That was not on my bingo card.
So yeah. That interaction with those three, because when I record, yeah. I just go full in, like I play all the characters at the same time. So going through those three different type of vocal characters was pretty stressful on my voice. But I got through it. But I'm glad that I did that training beforehand because I was just like, oh, man, if I didn't do that, I would not be able to do this whole scene right now. That was a little stressful because I was like, all right, here we go. I hope there's a lot of different voices going on here, but I'm going to try to do my best.
Is it pretty easy for you to transition from like the dark and broody to like, you know, Kieran's a little slightly similar or even Joshin, but like what's it like transitioning from like dark and broody to like Archer, the difference in those kind of voices?
Yeah, what I do is I have a file that has like all the voices that I do for the book and then I'll pick one line that like will snap me into that character. And so I'll look at the chapter and say, who's in this chapter? And I go, okay, this character, this character, this character. And then I play the one line so I can hear it. And then my brain just kind of stores it in there. And then once I go into that character or the whole scene, I can just jump from one to the other just because my brain is like, it already knows what it should be.
That's so cool. That I could never. I used to do like theater and things like that. I could never. That is so cool that you can do that.
It's wild how talented you are. And here's I'm going to sound like a super creep, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I was trying to figure out the word cameo because I am an idiot. And I was like, I don't remember what this word is called. And I was like, I know that Anthony does these. And so I was like, trying to put in the word for it. And so I ended up on your website, and which I didn't know that you had till like an hour ago. And I heard your clips that you have of all of your different types of voices.
Voices, yeah.
And you have such a strong range of voices, like crazy Southern cowboy and Italian guy.
Yeah.
Top tier. I laughed so, I was like dying. Listen, they were awesome.
Well,
so,
thank you.
If anyone wants to hear those, they're on his website.
Go to my website, annpalmini.com. has a whole bunch of different stuff that I've done. And I really got to thank my improv classes for that because I think a lot of those helped to kind of get me to think on my feet and not think too much about it, like make a clear decision and then just go with it. And so a lot of times when I'm doing, before I was even doing narration, they would pick me to do a lot of these side characters. And it was just like, okay, here's a character. And they would just literally like throw it at me. Okay, this character. And you just got to, okay, I would think high register, pretty crazy, and go. And then just go with it. So, and that's how I found my range and how far I can go.
Do you still go to improv?
I haven't recently, but I do still write with a couple of friends of mine that we're doing a short film now. And so we're constantly writing comedy. We're constantly just, you know, go back and forth with, you know, funny voices to make each other laugh. So even though I don't do that, I'm still kind of fine tuning that while I'm not attending classes.
Is this short film a secret? Can we know about it? Tell us. What is it?
So me and my two friends, we did a web short a long time ago and we had fun with those characters. All three of us were starring as like these crazy characters. And so we decided to kind of revamp those characters and make it into a short film. So we're working on it now. I can't talk too much about it yet, but it is a comedy. It is starring me and my two friends and it should be good. It should be good. It should be a lot of fun.
Is it live action or animated?
Live action. It'll be live action, yeah.
Okay. Wow. We'll watch it. Well, so we support you. Let us know when it's out.
Definitely.
That's amazing. So going back to Brimstone,
Yes.
Kaidan Graystar Finvara, what was your first impression when you read that on the page?
He has a name.
He has a name.
No, it was cool. I was, you know, I first wanted to make sure I got the pronunciation right, and I'm glad that they gave us that. And it was just cool. I was building up to it. I was like, I know that this is probably going to be revealed at some point. Yeah. And then once the name was there, I was like, okay, all right. I gotta get used to this name. Gotta attach that to my brain that this is another part of this character.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I was worried in the beginning of the book when he was like, I don't know my name. And I was like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, yeah. You have to know your name, bud. We need to know it. So
yeah.
Obviously she like brought it back around and everything is fine. But in the beginning, I was a smidge nervous that we were not going to find out the name.
Yeah.
So with this book as well, the level of spice went up immensely, in my opinion.
Yes,
did that throw you off at all? Or was it like a welcome challenge? What did you think of that?
No, I mean, luckily for, I guess, for everyone or for both of us or whatever, we've recorded it separately. So I'm still doing it alone, which helps out a lot. So it's sometimes I have to stop myself because I laugh because I forget what's about to happen next. And so I'm like, oh, we're doing that now. Okay, let me rewind myself and take it in this direction instead of what I thought was, okay, yeah, we're going this way. But it's fun. I mean, it's part of the genre. And it's just, I laugh sometimes. I laugh. And I'm like, oh, right.
Speaking of laughs too, I don't know if you remember this. Last time you were on our show, we talked about like, it was like the best laugh I've ever heard. And then we didn't laugh. And I heard it when I was listening to Brimstone. You laughed. And I was like, I was like, it's there.
I was thinking about that. I was like, oh my God, there's a laugh point now. I can do this now.
I was literally listening to that and I screamed. I was like, he put in the laugh. I told Cass, I'm going to ask him about it. I cannot forget. Oh, it was the best. Best moment
thank you,
for
thank
me.
You.
It was incredible. It made it so much more like real, right? Because you're listening to the book, you're basically in another world.
Yeah.
And so when you add those little things in, it's so cool. And it's so,
totally.
It makes it unique.
Yeah. You connect more.
You.
You're welcome. You connect more as to the character because you're adding something that would naturally happen. And so to have those little moments, it's just like, oh, that's that extra thing. So thank you. Thank you for.
Yeah. I have to ask, was that, because I know we talked last time, was it something that they put in, like you can laugh here, or did you decide that you were going to laugh in that moment because it said like something like that?
That's a good question. I think it either said it in the text like they were laughing, or I think it might have been a combination of both. I think it was just like, it felt like a moment that would need that. I was like, okay, let's add it in. Let's see if...
I love it.
Yeah.
It was perfect either way. I was just curious. And then, so this, like the spiciness of this book, is this the spiciest book that you've narrated, or have there been others that have been more? Like, I know you've done like the Plated Prisoner series and things like that, but...
I've been doing
a lot. In your
memory,
like, was this the top tier?
No, I mean, it's definitely up there. I think recently I've done a couple that are like a little bit more of the dark romance.
Oh, okay.
And so those get a little more, more specific. And so it was like, especially last year, it was my first time diving into that genre. I was like, oh, wow, this goes a little extra here. And so I think. It's up there. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are you doing more dark romance?
Yeah, there's a couple that are out right now. I'm having fun with it. I mean, it's definitely, the story is interesting. And yes, that part is, the spiciness is a part of it. But I always look first for like the story and what characters I would be playing. Or if it's just me, and then what type of character that is, and what is their full story. And then once it gets to the spiciness, I'll read it and go, okay. All right. That's all right. Yeah. And then,
And did all of your friends listen to Brimstone this time around?
Not yet.
Or were you like, hang on, actually, don't listen to
No, the ones who were waiting for it definitely heard it. Definitely were like, my light came down. Definitely heard it and definitely were like, wow. I need a minute. A friend of mine, she said she was listening to it. And then there was one point where she kind of remembered that it was me. And she was like, I had to stop. I had to walk away. I had to do something else because, yeah. And then I went back to it and was like, okay, yeah, I'm back. But yeah, it's so funny.
It's actually not Anthony. It's actually Kingfisher right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I told her. So I was like, just remember, it's Kingfisher. And she's like, yeah. But sometimes she's known me since we were little. So she can sometimes pick on little things that she's just like, that's Anthony. No, that's not Anthony.
That's so funny. That's interesting that she gets to listen to that in such a unique way because she does know you.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, but she loves the genre and she's just so excited. Yeah. She's like, I can't believe you're doing the audiobooks. This is great. And she's like, yeah, but just sometimes I have to block it out.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. I'm glad that she's still listening though, because it's the listening to an audiobook is so special, right? Like reading is special, but like listening to it, really diving into that world. I love that she's not forcing herself to miss out on it just because she knows you.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that she was like, I could totally do this. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Okay. I think we do have time. So I'm going to jump into it really quick.
Yeah.
So speaking of other characters, you have brought one of our characters to life that Cass and I are absolutely obsessed with, and that is Grimm from the Lightlark series. We've listened to all of the audiobooks, minus Crown Tide for the moment, but the Grimm portion from the Grimm and Oro, like the Dueling Crowns edition, was hands down my favorite part of the entire series. Obviously, like Grimm is dark and broody, just like Kingfisher is dark and broody, Slade is dark and broody. How did you make Grimm sound different than the others? Because I feel like he did sound different. He was dark and broody, but he was also, in my opinion, a little bit softer, like just a smidge more gentle.
I think what helped is always going to the core of their backstory. And his was so sad. It was like, I don't want to spoil it, but it's just like, what he had to do, what he saw, how that affected him, how he has to put this wall up because, you know, and so I was like, okay, so if this is still somewhere inside of him and this person that he's drawn to would change some of the things that he normally does, then that would poke out. And so I tried to find that balance of like, yes, he has to be this broody and you know, no nonsense and you don't know what you're talking about type of person. There's every time that he talked about her, it was this kind of weird sensation. He's just like, I just don't know what's going on. And so I was like, okay, so why don't we bring the little kid that was there that before all of this happened and try to bring that into the vocal range. And so that's how I try to make him a little different from the others.
I'm gonna tear up.
It's so sad. Like when I read the backstory, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's brutal.
He is like the king of who did this to you trope.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
I will say I loved you as Rassand. That's like the first time that I heard your voice and was like, aha, yeah, I love this guy. I know Dallas is always like, he's so good at Kingfisher, but my brain always goes back to Rassand. And I feel like Grimm and Rassand are kind of similar, but Grimm is a little more, even more just a step more broody or like darker. Yeah. But that's so when hearing you do Grimm, I was like, he sounds a little bit like Rassand, but I loved it.
Yeah, I always think the regalness of Rhysand because they are like part of this nobility. But Rhysand was just like, I played up because he was just like, yeah, I mean, he enjoys a lot of the things that he does, even though there are some other stuff going on. Where on the flip side, it was like, yes, he's kind of forced in this nobility and has to hide everything else and be this like stoic person or, you know, because of what happens. So, yeah. So there's always a little bit of that nobility, that charm in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you hear any of the Oro side before you recorded the Grimm book? Like, did you hear any of that storyline?
I did. I listened a little bit before and I was like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, he did a fabulous job.
He did a great job. I was like, oh. Man, okay, I gotta step it up. This is, whoa. He did such a great job. And so I was like, okay, cool. Let me, I kind of know the cadence, the vibe, the rhythm. Let me try to match that. And I did that even for Crown Tide, the same thing. I was able to listen a little bit of that just to kind of get back into it and like, okay, yeah, all right. So yeah.
Did it help you like connect anymore with Grimm? Like hearing Oro's side of it and then being like this is how he's supposed to be viewing it, you know, because we're
right.
The book is, the point is seeing it from two different sides.
I think it might have helped a little bit, but because it's my POV, I think I didn't want too much because I wanted it to be like, you know, oh, this is supposed to be his point of view. So let me try to just listen enough to know where this character is coming from, but not too much where now I'm thinking too much about like, oh, but this is how he feels. It's like, no, I don't know how he feels. So it's more of just like,
smart. That makes,
you know,
sense.
Matching,
yeah.
still POV of Grimm.
Okay, that makes sense. You really thought it through. I did not think of that. So back to Brimstone. Do you have any predictions for book three? If you had any guesses.
My guess is I hope I'm in the audiobook for book three.
So I have one thing. Don't we all hope that?
That's the only prediction I have. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait for the third one. I had such a fun time with the second one. The team up of Carrion and Kingfisher was great to do, fun to do. It's just like, I can't wait for the third one. Prediction wise, I don't know. I don't know.
You can't tell if you truly don't know or if you actually know all the things and you just can't tell me. He leaves camera. He's like, I gotta go.
I don't know. I don't know.
He's like, oh no.
He's like, I don't know. Who knows?
I gotta leave.
Well, I can't hear you. All right. I won't push any further. I promise. I won't. So before the book was released online, there was this huge thing about the clip that was released on whether or not it was Carrion or was it Taladeus. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard were you laughing at literally all of us?
10. It was great. It was great. It was like, I was just laughing at the theories, at like the anger. How dare this be a choose between this and that person, or who is this or what? I was just like, I cannot say anything, but this is very entertaining to see what's going on right now.
I couldn't even imagine it from looking at it from your side, where you know the answer, you did the voices, you know exactly who is talking, and not being able to say anything, I think would kill me.
Yeah.
I would have to frame the NDA on my kitchen table to be like, you can't say anything. You signed this. You can't say anything.
Some people were spot on. There were some people that I was like, wow, they really like dissected it, but they figured it out very quickly. They're like, no, because if you remember this, and I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
I was disappointed. I'll be honest. I was disappointed in myself because of how much I know about these books and these series and these audiobooks. And I even like tried to listen to the two books and be like, okay, is this with this voice? Yeah. Like, who is it? I thought it was Taladeus. I was so wrong. And I was really upset at myself.
They picked the perfect scene because up until that point, the way Carrion is delivering it and why it sounds a little bit off from the way he was is because at that point, he's being very sincere of like, no, I, you know, don't like her that way, but I kind of do. So it was like, you know, so that's why I was like, that's genius of picking that point, because it could play as somebody else or it could be Carrion. And so that was very smart.
Yeah, you did a great job. We were all confused. Every one of us. Just waiting. When the moment came up too, when I was listening to it, I was like, this is it. This is the moment. Who is it?
That's great.
Do you want to share some lines from the book for us?
Yes. Yes. We can do some
Cass
lines.
Cass has not been able to hear like an audiobook narrator IRL like this. I'm so excited.
My strength has always been my shadows. Come now, Osha. Where else would an Aconite kneel to worship but at the altar of his god?
So that's Kingfisher.
That is wild hearing
it's
it live.
It's wild, right? You're like, you just have your headphones on and it's in real life. It's crazy. Excuse me,
I think it's the Osha that got me.
The Osha, yeah.
Yeah, because that's like his signature. That's wild.
The Loris, let's see if I could do Loris. This is the first time I've done Loris in a while. Okay.
I challenge you to a duel, Seiris Fain. Would you please stab me with that shiny sword of yours? It would be such an honor.
So cute. So good. I literally might cry. That was so good.
I found him. Yes.
It's Yeah. So weird hearing it in real life.
It's so fun though, right?
It's crazy.
It's the best. It's literally the best part of the whole interview. Is like,
do you have do you have friends that like when you hang out with them, they're like, can you just do this voice? Or can you do this? Like, do you have signature voices that they're like, or even characters that aren't in books that they're like, hey, do that voice real quick?
That's been my whole life. Like, I've always been like the funny guy in my group. And so when I was younger, it was always just like mimicking like celebrities. But sometimes I would do it right. Sometimes it would just sound horrible, but it's just the funny part of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been that. So I think that's helped me out because even to this day, you know, we'll be doing something and I'll come up with a funny voice and they're just like, you're too much. Like, where did that come from? I'm like, I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's been that. It's cool. So hard too. Literally, like I have tried to like do other voices or like mimic characters. I'm going to say I'm proud of myself because I'll backtrack. Do you watch Madagascar, the movie?
The animation,
Yes. Okay, I wanted to make sure he knows what I'm talking about before I ask. But there's the, like the lemurs and there's like King Julian.
Yeah, they're great.
So there's the little tiny lemur. Like, what's his
do
name?
Do the voice, like, Mort. Do the voice for him, Dallas.
I can't do it now. I'm King Julian! I can't do it. But the other day I did a perfect one. Like,
she does it all the time in conversation. It's so
That's
silly.
That's great.
Oh, yay, another sacrifice! Like, I'm trying. I want to get and I want to be Jennifer Coolidge. It's my other dream.
That's she's got such a unique voice.
She really does. Yeah. And I try it and then I always go like Southern twang instead. It always ends up like country girl and it's not Valley girl by any means.
Yeah, she had this like interesting in between of that. Right? Where it's not like Southern, it's not Valley Girl, it's just like somewhere in between all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me it was Owen Wilson. Maybe it is Owen Wilson.
Well, maybe Owen Wilson.
Where it's like,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you add like Valley Girl to it. Wow. Like something like that. Don't judge. I am not an audiobook narrator, okay? I am not a professional.
But you know what's funny? That's how you come up with characters. Whenever you try to do an impression of somebody and it's really bad, well, congratulations. You've created your own unique character. And that's now that character's voice. You don't have to tell anybody that I was trying to do a Jennifer Coolidge impression. That's my character. This is
my new character.
Yeah. And people be like, yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds great.
Maybe I am an audiobook narrator now, guys. I have my own characters.
Exactly.
Thank you. Okay. All right. We have a rapid fire for you. It's not too crazy, but I think you'll have some good answers. Kingfisher or Grimm? I didn't say they were that bad. They're those bad.
That's like choosing children. Which is your favorite children?
We all have a favorite.
Everybody
right?
has
Even
a favorite.
You don't say that in public. You wouldn't say, that's... both. Sorry, I have to go both.
Kingfisher / Grimm or Rassand.
Why is this getting increasingly harder now? I will say I love them all, but Rassand was my first introduction, my first narration, my first everything. So just for sentimental value, I will say him, just because that's what started it all.
Yeah. It's like when you love your first child the most.
Next question. Dark and broody or light and funny?
You know, that's been a very good, like, I still tend to go for the light and funny just because I've done that practically my whole career. But there is something now getting into the dark and broody where that is becoming slightly more, not more fun, I'll stick with light and funny right now is still my go-to.
That's so interesting that you say that because you do, I mean, like the three main shadow daddies.
I know.
Right now, which is so crazy.
I think, you know what it is? It's like, I will say that for the funny characters, because I've done it for so long, I'm more at ease where it's a lot easier to do those. And those characters, I really like to deep dive and add those layers for the shadow daddies. Where there's like something on top of something on top of something. Mm-hmm. And I just have fun kind of analyzing and figuring certain things out at certain points of the book. So I think that's why maybe that's that way.
That makes sense. Next one, dual narration or solo narration?
I think my voice will thank me for dual. That's solo fair. Solo is good, but there are some solos where I have to give it to some narrators where I'm like, you're doing 700 and how many pages by yourself? Holy moly, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
So I am blessed for duet. I'm blessed for dual. My voice thanks them. But down the road when that happens, I'll hopefully be prepared. But right now, thank you. Thank you so much, dual. Thank you. Thank you so much, duet.
I feel like it's so, not in, but like it's in right now. Like people really seem to like the dual narration, the duets, because you do get the female voice and the male voice. So you can truly, again, put yourself really in that story. So I do feel like it's increasing in vibe. All right. Final question for you. Brimstone or Quicksilver?
Oh, they're both excellent, excellent, excellent. I will say for just like having more opportunities for fun performances, I think I'll say Brimstone just because I had so much fun doing the Carrion Kingfisher road trip part of the book. And there were so many other new characters that, it just, as the actor in me, there were so much more characters to play around with that, like, I like Brimstone for that factor of just like having the blessing of having more characters to just play around with and being like, okay, what about that? What can I do with this character?
Yeah, I love it. I said they weren't too hard of questions, hopefully.
No, they were good.
We wanted to
throw
some good ones at you. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us, Anthony. This has been absolutely incredible. And for our listeners, thank you for listening in today and hearing us hang out with Anthony once more. And if you want to see our previous episode and interview with him, it is anywhere you can listen to your podcasts.
Thank you for having me on.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.